You're listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on bingemedia.net. And now, Small Screen Heroes.
Oh, Small Screen Heroes, it was on this week. Gonna talk fucking Marvel and DC. You can rely on Batch and a guest host. You can rely on Batch and whoever. Small Screen Heroes, Supergirl and Flash, Doctor Who, Preacher, Arrow, Walking Dead. You know you're gonna love this podcast, Small Screen Heroes.
Hey there, everybody. This is Small Screen Heroes. That's your old buddy Batch here. I'm joined by the one, the only, Mr. Jim Law.
What's going on, Batch?
Oh, dude, I am bringing the thunder today because we got a very, very special announcement today. Fans of the show, Small Screen Heroes has been going on for a while over at Binge Media, but I think you and I decided it's time to evolve this show a little bit, where I actually, instead of Batch and whoever, that I have a permanent co-host on this show.
That's right. Spoiler alert, but we're going to have to have PDMC record a new sounder for. Was that PDMC or TM?
I think that was PDMC.
Okay, we're going to have PDMC record a new sounder for you because you are likely to have a long-time permanent host. But before we, like, the reasoning why, you said we talked about it, and actually, Morano and I talked about it a lot, too. It's not easy doing a show by yourself.
No.
It's not easy to have a different host every week because you got to, first of all, think of what to talk about.
Yep.
And then you got to think about who's the best person to talk about that with. And then if that person's not available, you have to get whoever you can get. And everything that you plan in your head doesn't work out whatsoever.
Yeah. And we want to keep it to the family as much as we can.
That's right. That's right.
So there's only one guy. If you suggested someone to me and I'm thinking that's a fucking fantastic idea. So does this mean that he's officially got a promotion now?
He is the first name that came to my mind when I started looking at what I want this show to be. And, you know, from the very first concept, the very first time we ever talked, we were talking, you were on the Bingecast, I believe, when we first came up with the concept. And we wanted it to be about all the superhero shows on TV that we don't, you know, talk about on the main show, on the Bingecast.
This show adds diversity to the brand because Lord knows I pitched this show a million times to Moreno and he said no every time. And I knew the first time I was on the Bingecast, I got the show through.
Well, because he's drunk. You get him when he's drunk and you can do anything. If you got Moreno drunk, we would have and suggested a show about wedding shoes. We'd have a wedding show shoe on Binge Media, because that's what Moreno does. He says yes to everything when he's drunk.
Okay, so remind me to repitch the wrestling cast when he's drunk next time on the Binge Cast.
Okay. No, no, no. We're not going to repitch that. No, that one's done. That's dead in the water. But this
it's still
one,
a thing,
this
Law.
Like all the shows that we don't basically talk about, all the like Flash and Arrow and all that shit, that was what it basically came to fruition. But now it's expanded so much. I mean, we're doing a – sorry to spoil this, but we're doing a fall preview show today. Mm-hmm. You're not going to – the amount of fucking comic book-based shows that are coming out in the fall and
– and in production and in pre-production. Like there's too many goddamn TV shows and I can't watch them all. I try and take one for the team, but I can't do everything myself.
That's right. That's why you need a permanent co-host.
Mr. Co-host, introduce yourself.
Well, it's the one, the only high-pitched beauty bitch, Logan James. Hi, everyone. How's it going?
What did you call high-pitched beauty bitch?
Yeah, that was an Amen quote from two binge casts ago. He's like, that high-pitched beauty bitch, and I think that it's going to stick.
Wait. We actually have real Logan. I thought we were just going to use the Logan soundboard as my co-host on the show.
How funny it would have been if I just come on as Logan every week.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, fucking Bash, where the fuck? No one would be able to tell the difference.
Logan, welcome to my new co-host, one half of Small Screen Heroes, my new tag team partner.
What's that?
You're my new tag team partner.
Yeah. The Robin to your Batman. Yes. Although I'm, that might be a little weird. But no, thank you guys for the honor of being a permanent co-host of Small Screen Heroes. It's been a climbing the ladder of Binge Media in ways I never thought possible, from getting Moreno drunk and saying, hey, I'm going to timestamp the Bingecast, and now I'm here. So I really do appreciate it. So thank you.
All right. You still have to time stamp, but that hasn't changed.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
But, yeah, so every once a month. We're going to go once a month for now for Small Screen Heroes because life gets in the way. But, again, it's going to continue to be all things comic book, pop culture, TV, and print. We'll be talking about it on this show. So, yeah, as Law said, there's a lot of fucking comic book TV shows.
Yeah, as I was talking about earlier, I was like, I didn't know like 50% of these were like existing.
Yes.
Right.
And Law, you're not watching any of these. Well, you're watching maybe one or two.
I'm
watching one of them.
Let me look at your list here and see if I'm watching fucking anything.
And this isn't even like a this doesn't even include like cartoons. Like yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy cartoon or the Spider-Man cartoon. This is just actual comic book TV shows. This is the would you guys say this is the golden age because superhero fatigue does not exist on this show?
Yeah, I mean, but I guess does it depend on how good they are? I mean, is it just quantity over quality? Because there are some good ones, and there, you know, some have been better in the past, The Walking Dead and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, Defenders came under heavy fire on the binge cast, and I mean, I only watched the first two episodes, but even then, I was like, I don't know. I mean, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I don't know how that's doing anymore, and then there's other shows like Walking Dead, which is fucking garbage. Mm-hmm. Legion's really good, I think. Two of us
are I'm sure Law has an opinion about that. You fucking hated Legion.
I hated Legion. I ended up tapping out of Outcast. I still watch Walking Dead just to shit on it. I don't know if I'm the right guy to be on this show, to be honest with you.
We need someone to hate on this shit. It can't be all just love, so that's why you're here, Law. So, Logan, okay, so what is Outcast? So, I tried to put on this list of what network is doing what. So, Outcast is on Cinemax, correct?
Yeah, so there'll be titties, I'm sure.
Well, what are we already one season into Outcast? Was there titties? I can't remember. I remember I watched at least 90% of it. I don't remember titties.
Yeah, I think they're on season two now, if the list is correct. So it must be doing it. It's a Robert Kirkman show. Yeah. I watched like the first two episodes and I read the first two, three issues, and it was like almost beat for beat it. Because I think he actually pitched the TV show first and then wrote the comic.
Okay. When do we know when this comes back or has it come back?
I'm not too sure. Just it didn't really say on the list where I got all the shit.
All right. Continue.
But it's coming back though. So obviously, I think it's doing well enough that they're making more. So essentially, wasn't Outcast just like almost like a demon possession type of show?
Hmm. Hold on. I'm still looking up the premiere date. We need to tell the people when things are coming back. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait a minute.
This says on in the UK on April 3rd. That doesn't help us in the US or Canada.
No, that was season one. Oh, wait. The second season premiered on Fox in the UK on April 3rd, 2017. Oh, I guess we're deep into second season. All right. So, yeah. Okay. I guess none of us are watching it.
We'll have to get on that shit.
Why'd you tap out, Batch? I thought you were enjoying it.
I've got a million shows to watch. I got to pick and choose. I mean, like, there's like six shows on the CW now, so.
Right. And you're still watching all of those? Let's get to those. Let's talk
okay,
about those
so
right
let's
now.
Talk the franchise. Flash is the franchise for CW. You got Flash, you got Supergirl, you got Arrow, you got Legends of Tomorrow. Those are the big four. Black Lightning is joining it. Now, initially they said Black Lightning wasn't part of the CW-verse. Now they're saying it is. They'd be stupid not to make it part of the CW-verse at this point because those shows are doing like gangbusters. I'm looking forward to the new season of Flash because for once the big bad isn't a speedster. They've announced that the bad guy for this season is the Thinker. So Barry's going to have to tackle some of his rogues a little bit differently. They've also announced that they're going to kind of expand the roster of supporting characters. So we're going to have the classic DC character of the Elongated Man, Ralph Dibny, on the show. So that's going to be awesome.
Nice.
Supergirl's back as well. I got a feeling this is going to be the last season of Arrow. I think, was it fourth or fifth season? I think it's the fifth season coming up. And what's his name? Manu Bennett is back as Deathstroke. So that's going to be cool. Legends of Tomorrow is actually a lot better than anybody thought it would be. Because it is a time travel show and it deals with alternate timelines. And just the cast of characters are pretty good.
Does it cross over into the other ones like the other ones do?
Oh, yeah. They've announced that they're going to do like a big four-show crossover again this season like they did last year.
All right. Aside, Black Lightning aside, because that doesn't start till next year. Yeah. What's the best CW show? Like the best one overall as a whole?
Of those shows, I would say Flash. Supergirl would be a second, then Legends Tomorrow and Arrow and last.
Logan, you're a Marvel guy, right?
Yeah.
I've
been told that I need to watch The Flash because it's similar to what if Spider-Man was on television, yes. Kind of have the same vibe.
Okay.
But yeah, Marvel's more my my home base, if you will.
So with Marvel shows, we got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is coming back as a mid-season replacement. I'm hearing atrocious things about the Inhumans on ABC.
Yeah, I watched the trailer for the first time yesterday. I obviously have seen like promo pics for a while, and I watched the trailer, and it looks awful.
Yeah. I think that's going to be like a one-and-done season.
Yeah. Wow. And I don't even know what the reception was in like IMAX, because it came out at the beginning of the month, right? And then I think the premiere is the 29th, I believe.
Yeah, because when they were hyping the shit out of that show, it was like, being first episode filmed in IMAX.
Yeah.
I feel like DC's done something kind of smart. Well, in a sense, Marvel's done it too with Netflix, but DC's kind of like taken over the CW, right? Like, I understand it's Warner Brothers Network. That's why it's easy for them to get those shows on there. But I feel like Marvel's losing out when they try to do all like Inhumans is going to be on ABC, right? Yeah. I mean, it's such a cutthroat business nowadays where if you're not an instant hit or fucking fantastic TV show that has an immediate gathering or following, you're just going to fail. And all these big networks the old school networks, I feel like none of these shows ever last on them. Mm-hmm. That's why they did better on Netflix because it seems like more of a closed network. You know what I mean? It seems like they can handle their own crossovers and all that kind of shit. It didn't work out for Defenders or whatever, but they have had some really, really good seasons within, you know, Jessica Jones and Daredevil and Luke Cage and all that kind of shit. But when they stream out to the fucking major networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, I feel like it's always, always going to fail.
It's that weird disconnect. I don't know when the TV version of Marvel and the film version of Marvel stopped getting along. Because remember when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. launched, like everyone was so fucking stoked for it because Coulson's back and Sam Jackson was actually was on one of the first few episodes as Nick Fury. And halfway through the first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it had like ramifications from the movies because that's when the Winter Soldier came out and the whole show changed and flipped with the big Hydra reveal and all that kind of stuff. But it's like after that first season, they just started getting farther and farther apart in terms of what happened in the movies and what happens on the TV shows. Like when Civil War came out, the Sokovia Accords was kind of brought up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but it wasn't really as big of a thing. And that kind of stuff really doesn't trickle down to the Netflix shows. Like you'll get the odd reference of like the New York event, which was the first Avengers movie, but we want like more tight continuity. Like I want to see like Luke Cage in the Avengers movie. I want to see all that kind of shit, but I don't think we're going to get it.
The thing about the CW shows is like they kind of built their own universe on that network. So like, I mean, I know it's a different Superman and it's not Henry Cavill or however you pronounce his name.
And he's fucking amazing. He's a million times better Superman than what we got in the movies.
But I feel like that's also like with you have the kind of the correct atmosphere. Like Supergirl is kind of – it's like a poppy kind of, you know, bubbly kind of show. And it's kind of just – it's the schematic of the Superman, you know, comic book. Whereas, you know, they kind of have Arrow and they have Supergirl and they have Flash and they kind of interact. And that's like their own little universe on the CW. Meanwhile, Marvel is introducing all these characters that exist within the comic books, but they never interact because they're either on ABC or Netflix or in the movies, which is kind of like, that's the problem. I mean, when Civil War came out, Law was saying how like Daredevil and Jessica Jones were in big parts of the comic book and they could have easily been included in the movies, but they weren't. And now we're getting Infinity War at the end of next year. And it's like, we could have all four of these characters plus, you know, the minor characters like Foggy and Karen show up, but you know, it's just that in that facet, it's kind of a mess.
It is a mess. And you can even go for like stretch it out even farther. The Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the whole show is based around its star was supposed to be Agent Coulson, right? Like, and he was a big deal in the movies. Now he comes back and they make him a big deal in the show and the fact that he didn't die and all that, but how come he hasn't come back in the movies? Like, he's such a, like, you know, like, But I just feel like he should be back in the movies and then have that connection between the show and the films.
I would
and him even reappearing in the movies, it would be like a really interesting storyline. Like, how do you deal with that? Like, how, like the aftermath of Coulson coming back in the films?
Because he's been back for years now. I would have loved a cameo from like Cap or Iron Man. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And those guys are far too smart to not know that he's alive somewhere. Like, I mean, they fly over the world, they do all this shit, like they don't know that Coulson's alive.
But yeah. It's kind of a mess, yeah. And I talked about this when I reviewed Defenders, when I just went fucking haywire on it. Logan, you're right. I did bring up the fact that I don't understand why Daredevil's not in Civil War, because he was a huge part of the comic and all this shit. And then after Defenders, it made sense to me. They are trying to connect all of them. Like, Agent Shield obviously connected to the movies. They have one of the same characters. And you said Sam Jackson was on it. The Netflix Marvel Universe is connected to the movies because they bring it up. Yep. They very early on in Daredevil, they brought up the fucking the big fight in the first Avengers movie.
Yep.
So the thing is, though, I understand now why they can't fucking connect these things, because like I said in my my review, or shitting upon, if you want to call it, Iron Man, if Daredevil was like, Iron Man, we got these fucking ninjas that want to blow up Hell's Kitchen, can you help us? Iron Man would show up.
Yeah.
And think about, there was like fucking 10 minutes of that last episode on the Defenders on an elevator, like literally on an elevator going down. Iron Man would show up and fucking would end everything in like 5 minutes. He would literally end the problem in 5 minutes. That's why they have to separate it. And I don't think that necessarily is a good thing for the Netflix universe.
But they've obviously found
people that are strong, and it's weird.
They found reasons for these characters to exist within the comic books. They found storylines for them. I mean, they have them interact. I mean, that's the problem, whereas like we have these big budget elements, you know, that we see on the movie screen that they don't really translate to, you know, Netflix or ABC. I mean, I can't even imagine how they would even find the budget to put somebody like Iron Man on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It'd be fucking mind-blowing if they did, because it'd be awesome to see that, like, finally happen. Like, you know, everything's really connected. But it's like you're reading it one day, and then the next day you're like, okay, well, why can't this character interact with this character? And yada, yada, yada. And I think we've become spoiled as the audience members, because, like, this should all really work out. And we were thinking that it would, and it's not.
Like, how awesome would it be if, like, Matt Murdock just has a cameo in the next Iron Man movie in a courtroom scene?
Yeah, or like, Peter Parker's fucking lawyer for something that happened at high school. I don't know. But, like, it's just that little thing.
Yeah, that would be cool.
We got a lot of Marvel shows, like, in pre-production, too. There's going to be a new Warrior show, Cloak and Dagger. Runaways is going to be on Hulu.
Cloak and Dagger's on the CW? That's what you had here.
I think actually Cloak and Dagger technically is on that Freeform network, whatever the fuck that is.
So I was about to say, if it was on CW, I feel like that'd be conflict of interest.
Yeah, obviously. The ones that you just mentioned, I'm most excited about Runaways, because it is a comic that I actually read.
Oh, I fucking love Runaways. You and I will geek out about that.
I love the fact that it's on Hulu too. Like, I didn't know until right now, until looking at your list and then you saying it, what station was going to be on. I thought it was going to be another ABC thing and it was going to be a disaster. Hulu gives me a lot of hope. This is a really good concept. Logan, have you ever heard about Runaways at all?
I've heard of them. I've never read the comic.
I think you would really love Runaways. It's basically about a group of teenagers. It turns out all their parents are supervillains.
Oh, nice.
So basically they get together and go, fuck those guys, and they essentially just run. They run away. But
they all have traits, right, of their parents. Yeah. They're all superheroes in their own right. There's a bunch. Like, I mean, this story gets pretty big. I imagine they're gonna scale it down for the TV show.
Yeah,
obviously. But yeah, like that. I think, Logan, everyone knows that you're a big Spider-Man guy. There's a lot of that theory in Runaways, right? Like that, a lot of that teen angst, like they don't know what they are kind of thing. And especially when they find out that their parents are supervillains, it's them dealing with that, them dealing with their powers, and them dealing, you know, trying to fit into the world. Now, the comic does cross over a little bit. Like, you see, I think there's a couple frames in the background of fucking like Iron Man and Hulk fighting some people and all that kind of shit. Obviously, I don't, again, we just talked about this, I don't see that happening in the show. I don't think there's going to be any close tie-ins with the film universe or the Netflix universe or anything, which might hurt it a little bit. But I do hope, like we just discussed, I do hope that they kind of tie it in to the greater universe. It's a great, great concept.
I'm going to have to recommend this to Emo Kev.
Yeah. I hope we get to see Old Lace on the show.
Yeah. There's a lot of cool characters in this and a lot of funny fucking characters. And actually, the bad guys that they deal with are pretty good. Overall, it's pretty good. I mean, I haven't read it lately, but I just took my mom has like the first three collections and I just reread them like last month. So it's a really, really good concept. Hopefully they do it well on Hulu. Is this Hulu's first forte into comic book shows?
I think it is. I think that they're getting on the ground floor because Amazon's doing really well with The Tick. Have you guys watched any of that yet?
I watched the premiere episode of that. I didn't mind it at all.
Yeah, I thought it was really refreshing. I think it was really well done. I'm glad they did a whole season of that. I got to get on that.
Yeah. Of all the things we're bringing up, Logan, what interests you the most? What do you think that you might want to latch onto here?
I know, I'm like brought on as co-host, and I'm like, I haven't watched half this shit.
It's okay. We're going to work into it.
You got homework.
I mean, after you know, I watched Daredevil season 1 and 2. I watched Jessica Jones, I watched Luke Cage. I didn't watch Iron Fist, and I kind of like struggling to get through Defenders. I'm really, really hopeful for Punisher.
Punisher's going to be fucking badass.
I think
badass.
It's been mentioned in different audiences on the Binge Network that like, he was easily the best part of, I would not just say Daredevil season 2, but like one of the most like interesting characters that showed up in the whole Netflix run of Marvel shows.
Absolutely.
I think Jon Bernthal is fantastic as the character. When he wasn't on the screen, I think he was sorely missed and the show kind of suffered. Him only giving him a 4-episode arc, I think, was a mistake. So hopefully they kind of lessen it a little bit, like maybe like make it like an 8 to 10 episode run, because I feel like the Netflix shows kind of run a little too long.
Mm-hmm.
They let it go a little too long and they, you know, have to fill in time. Also, as I mean, it's a different kind of beast altogether, but I will check out The Gifted because I mean,
that X-Men one's actually interesting.
X-Men seems to be doing all right on television. Well, I think, I don't know. Some people here think differently. but, you know, I mean, I really enjoy Legion. I know it's a different creator. I know it's a different, it's not on FX. It's on Fox. So, I mean, it could go either way. But, you know, especially after being kind of tired of what the movies have provided, except for, you know, Logan, no bias whatsoever. You know, I'm looking forward to that.
Well, they have confirmed that Polaris is going to be on that show. So that's kind of cool.
All right.
What else do we
but
got?
But that's another thing is, are these shows, I mean, Legion kind of touched upon it in little doses, but like, are these shows going to tie back to that universe? Is, you know, I mean, will they be kind of mentioned in passing, like the Netflix shows, or are they going to have like cameos? Are they going to like have,
well, wasn't there a big, rumor that, Professor X was supposed to be on the next season of Legion?
Yeah, you're right.
Patrick Stewart has gone on record saying he would love to be on Legion.
Mm-hmm.
So take that for what it is.
All right. A couple of the names here that I don't recognize on the list, Batch. Umbrella Academy. What is Umbrella Academy?
That is a comic done by the guy that the lead singer of My Chemical Romance. I think, what's his name? Gerard Way?
Yeah.
So it was a Dark Horse book, and Netflix has got the rights to it, and they're going to turn that into a series. I heard it was pretty good. I've never actually read it. I'm going to have to track that down. But that's kind of cool. He's actually doing some really good stuff with DC over the Young Animal imprint. So he's kind of in charge of Doom Patrol and a couple other kind of the weird books like on the fringes of the DC universe.
All right. I'm going to look that up for sure.
Gotham's on season 4. So Bruce is actually almost in a prototype Batman costume. That's where they're at so far in that kind of canon.
You're watching Gotham?
Yeah, I'm watching Gotham. I'm like, I haven't got to the third season yet, but it's not bad for what it is. The timeline's all fucking screwed up because Bruce is young, and then we got the Riddler and Penguin, and but it is kind of cool. I really like Harvey Bullock. I like Jim Gordon. I want him to grow the fucking mustache already, but they can do that last season. But Gotham's a good show.
Just Umbrella Academy. Logan, I sent you a link to some online comic viewing. Did you ever get that link?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, thought I did. The Umbrella Academy is on there. I'll actually send
it. Yeah, I'll check it out.
All right, sorry. You watch Gotham.
Right? I like it. It's not bad. Again, it's one of those shows that's 30 episodes a season, so I kind of like the Netflix model of 10 episodes, but is what it is.
Yeah. I don't know. How many episodes a season is it?
Like around 25, 30. So it's like a network show, so too many damn episodes. But at least they have brought in, last season they brought in Rachel Ghoul. They've got the Court Owls in there. So they're bringing a lot of the kind of the cooler stuff in the Batman. They've said that this season they're going to have Professor Pig, who's one of the newer Batman villains.
How old's the kid? How old is Bruce Wayne at this point?
Oh, I think he's going to be around 13, 14.
But he's got a prototype Batman suit already?
Yeah, he's going to start he's going to start being a vigilante. So he's learning to become Batman now.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know they were even going to touch upon that. No, that's all right.
Oh, yeah.
Now, how far do you think they'll like be able to go with that storyline before they have to be like, "All right, well, you know, this is where it kind of indirectly links up to the movies or whatever," or like, I guess, you know, because, I mean, I feel like at this point we're kind of focusing more on the Gotham Police Department than we are on Batman himself. You know, the focus is on Jim Gordon. So how long do you think it'll go before, you know?
Depends on ratings, maybe. Like, as long as people keep watching the show, they'll keep milking it.
Do you think has there ever been like, obviously the old Batman show, but do you think this might turn into or evolve into an actual Batman?
I could see it. Yeah. There was a very interesting fan theory because the show is a lot darker than like the Batman universe. A lot of kind of fans have speculated that it's actually not Batman Earth. It's kind of like Earth 3, which was like the evil Earth. That would kind of explain why things are all kind of fucked up. So it's not really the origin of Batman. It's the origin of Owlman.
Oh.
That would have been like a really kind of out of left turn plot twist, but I think it'd be kind of cool. We've already seen the Joker more or less on this show.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah, I recently just finished Shameless, and I was more interested in watching the show because I was wanting to see how his performance was as the character.
Yeah,
I can't remember the actor's name, but he's on that show, so yeah, he'd probably make like a pretty decent Joker.
He's pretty good.
If this show does anything for you, Logan, it'll make you have an excuse to watch more television.
Yeah.
You have to tell the girlfriend, like, look, I have to watch 14 shows tonight for the cast tomorrow.
Listen, we have to watch all our Scientology, the challenges. Like, no, I got to watch like 15 episodes of Gotham. Sorry, babe.
Doctor Who's starting. We got to watch that. You got to like 38 seasons of Doctor Who to get through.
I don't know. Doctor Who, I don't know. I don't feel like I can crack that.
But she's a woman now. He's a woman now. Come on.
Oh, okay. Well, it's not a gender thing. I just... Yeah. I mean, the only reason I would watch it is for David Tennant, because he was fucking awesome, and Jessica Jones, and he's on DuckTales now as Scrooge McDuck, so the guys like can do no wrong.
Oh, I got a feeling over the course of months to come, we'll talk a lot about DuckTales on this show between you and me.
Well, speaking of watching shit, I hooked up Logan with that. You brought it up earlier, Batch, the first 5 episodes of the new Spider-Man cartoon. How is it? Is it any good?
I'm like trying to gather my thoughts here. So I watched the 5 episodes between yesterday and today. Mm-hmm. It has a manga Japanese style to it, so PMC will never watch it.
Yeah.
but you know, it's weird. It's cheesy. It has kind of like, and I'm stretching here. It has like Full House moments where like Peter's like, oh hey, like he's talking to his Uncle Ben, and there's like this somber music playing over it. And he like talks to a pigeon between the first and the second episode. It's kind of weird. the great power comes great responsibility line is obviously there, but like he has it as a scientific equation in his like notebook. It's like, it's weird. They're obviously trying to capitalize on the success of the movie. There's characters' names being thrown out left and right. So it's Gwen Stacy, Harry Osborn, Miles Morales, who doesn't even exist within the Spider-Man universe that we know, unless I'm really behind on the comics, but he shows up at a school. Everybody who is of a scientific importance has a school. So Batch, the name Max Modell probably rings a bell.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. But he has like a school. Norman Osborn has a school. Everybody has a school. And then you know, Rhino shows up and he's just this regular kid in, you know, the school. And then he's like, oh, I have a pimple on my forehead, and it sprouts a rhino's, you know, horn. And it's just, it's very bizarre. You know, after watching, I didn't watch all of it, but, you know, I was a really big fan of Ultimate Spider-Man, which was, I think, the last incarnation of the character.
That was a decent show. I like that one.
It's not bad by any means. It's just, it's really weird. And it's like, you know, they have these like very like serious moments where like Harry's like, you know, he says to Peter, well, you don't have a father. And then he's like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. And then like they fist bump like 2 seconds later. It's just, it makes a lot of weird choices. And I'm like, I don't know like who they're trying to appeal to, if it's like supposed to be meant for kids and they're like, they're having these serious issues. So,
yeah, I watched a little bit of it today with my kids. They were watching it too, catching up on it. And after things like they were really into Teen Titans Go, and they're really
Spider-Man.
And Ultimate Spider-Man, Teen Titans Go, they're kind of like similar, right? They're off the wall, fucking crazy shit.
Like perfect shows for kids who have ADHD.
Yeah, absolutely. They fucking loved them. So, but this seems like almost a step back in that new wave. This seems like the old Spider-Man cartoon from what I was watching. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I remember the years it ran, but the, you know, the one where they had the Venom storyline and all that stuff. Like, it was a really good Venom storyline. It seems like they stepped it a little bit back, but they're also very heavy on the scientific stuff. Do you find that? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of science talk. I mean, Harry Osborn's a scientist. Gwen Stacy's a scientist. Obviously, we know Peter Parker's a scientist.
Science!
I mean, Alistair Smythe shows up, so he's scientist. And then, like, everything is science-based. It's literally, like, it kind of reminds me of The Amazing Spider-Man, where, like, it's almost all of these characters that we know from the comics show up underneath this umbrella of, like, they work at, you know, the Osborn, whatever it's called. I'm blanking right now. But, like, it's very convenient for the sake of being convenient. And instead of, like, just having these characters be introduced, like, the Jackal is Gwen Stacy's... Oh, I don't know if I want to spoil it. Never mind.
This is a spoiler cast. That's the other thing about small screen. We can talk about anything the fuck we want.
I mean, it's not a big deal, but, like, the Jackal is, like, Gwen Stacy's uncle. Or, you know, it's, like, weird. It's all very convenient, you know. Miles Morales is a student at the school that Peter goes to work at. It's weird. And I know that they exist, I mean, within the same universe, but not the same age. If anything, I felt like Peter Parker should have been, you know, significantly older. Because mine was supposed to be, like, 13, whatever. But, I mean, that's neither here nor there. I mean, the show's okay. It's not bad. But I don't know. I think it's just kind of, it's, for me personally, watching it as an adult, you know, it's not the best incarnation of the character in an animated form anyway.
That sucks. I had high hopes for it. I really did. I thought it was going to be like the next step in the Spider-Man animated universe. But it, like I said, it looks like a step backwards.
I mean, I think you were referring to the one in the 90s. I love the one in the 90s. Yeah. I mean, that's where I really, you know, when I started reading the comics, I started watching the cartoon. And, you know, I feel like that one, besides obviously the 1960s version, which is a beast in and of itself, I feel like that one is still kind of like the concrete version of what the character's about. And Ultimate was really good. And you're absolutely right. It's just like it's bouncing off the walls kind of entertainment. And I feel like this one's so much slower that, like, if we're really living in a generation where kids have to watch stuff like Teen Titans Go or Ultimate Spider-Man, where, like, they have to be entertained 24/7, but like half hour, like really quick half hour, like go, 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 jokes, shows. Now it's like, oh, it's slow. It's really slow. And there's like action and stuff, but it's just like, it's not what it should be as far as a kid's cartoon is concerned. And I'm speaking as a person, I love Teen Titans Go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
I'm excited for the Titans TV show coming out real soon.
Okay, now what's this going to be all about?
It's going to be like kind of the classic team of Nightwing, Starfire. They've confirmed that they're casting Beast Boy right now. Hawk and Dove are going to be on it. So kind of like the big eight. So I don't know if Cyborg will be in it, because they've kind of stuck Cyborg in the Justice League. But it'll be all the classic Titans characters, and they'll be a little bit older. So
this is not a cartoon, or it is a cartoon?
Live action.
Oh,
well, again, they could use, but why wouldn't they use Cyborg, right? They have Superman and Supergirl. So, yeah. I mean, I don't think sticking to any rules when that comes. I think they need Cyborg. They're going to do a true Titans show.
It's that weird retro of like Cyborg was one of the original members of the Justice League. They're just trying to retrofit him in there, and he's a Titans. To me, Cyborg will always be a Titans character.
Right. Right. Well, that's cool. I wonder if that would. No, what's that going to be on?
I think that's on TNT.
Oh, okay.
That's not going
to be a Germanic flair.
Yeah. Right. So
I don't know. Are we spreading this shit out too much? We don't have any incarnation of Robin in the movies or TV right now, and he's jumping right to Nightwing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it seems like we've missed a whole era there, media wise. Like, I don't know. Like, it seems like they're spreading everything really thin here.
I can see them introducing maybe Dick Grayson on Gotham soon at this rate.
But yeah.
What is he, a fucking newborn? Like,
he'll be a toddler. He'll be doing a toddler just doing backflips in the background.
Yeah, right. Like the animated baby from Ally McBeal.
My God, what a reference. That was amazing.
I know. I throw it out there.
Okay, other thing going on this list. Riverdale is actually better than... It's getting better. I hated that show initially, but it's growing on me.
This is the Beverly Hills 90210 version of Archie comics, right?
Yep. Okay. Matthew Perry plays Archie's dad.
Mom loves the show, Ash. My mom loves this show.
Oh, really?
And she loves Archie comics. Now, when was the last time you read an Archie comic? Do you still read them?
Actually, since they rebooted them, Archie's really good now.
Is the comic more like the show now? Is it more adult and more dark?
Yeah, the comic went more adult. They changed the art style and just feels more, it just feels more current without being like hitting you over the head with it. And the show was being a little bit more noir because Jughead's on the dad is a biker and all this kind of shit. Their family's from the wrong side of the tracks. And there's a murder mystery of who killed Cheryl Blossom's brother and all this extra kind of shit. But it kind of works for the show. It's a CW show that has Archie in it.
The atmosphere. It seems like that Twilight and Teen Wolf on MTV could all exist within the same universe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a matter of time before we get like a really dark version of Scooby-Doo live action on the CW.
Oh my God, that's fucking brilliant. And also awful at the same time.
Well, my mind was blown when I realized that the kid from that Adam Sandler movie, Big Daddy, is actually Jughead.
Oh, wow. Oh, really?
One of the twins?
Yeah, he's Jughead on the show.
Oh, that's weird.
Then I felt really old.
Yeah.
His career went far.
Yeah.
All right. What's this Krypton show coming on Sci-Fi?
Oh, that's a piece of shit I don't think anybody wants. Yeah, I guess they're doing a prequel show to Superman, so it's about life on Krypton. Before it blew up.
Like, at this point, like, I mean, I'm totally with Law. Like, I'm just looking at this list of shows, and I'm just like, how far? Like, I mean, you know, fatigue is one thing, but like, how... It's just way overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, obviously there's something for everyone here because, you know, there's so many like obscure or not obscure comic book characters that people read or, you know, adore, but it's just like, it's getting a little bit crazy.
I am interested to see what they're going to do with Lock and Key though. I fucking love that book. If they can do half that book justice, it's going to be a phenomenal fucking TV show.
But that, yeah, and that's the kind of stuff I do get excited for. Lock and Key is, you know, it's not connected to
anything. And I'm sure it's going to be amazing, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not connected to anything, and it's from Joe...
Joe Hill, yeah. Stephen King's son.
Joe. And it's fucking... It's a fucking amazing story. I have no idea how this is going to translate to screen, the way, because it's so fucking crazy. But a great story. And this is something, you know, before we even got this onslaught of fucking comic book movies... Or TV shows. Like, this is something that I would be excited about back then. You know what I mean? And in the fact, I'm still excited about it in the midst of all this fucking punishment that we're getting. It says something for the story. It is a really, really good story. I'm actually really excited about Why the Last Man, too. Even though it's on FX, which I think is going to hurt it. This is a comic book I read from beginning to end. I finished the entire series. Was obsessed with it. Absolutely fucking loved this story. It's a great concept, but I also think FX is going to water it down and make it appeal to everybody. And it's not a story that appeals to everybody. And I don't think it's going to translate, especially on FX.
What was the name of that Cloverfield sequel with John Goodman in it? Cloverfield Lane?
10 Cloverfield.
Yeah. The director of that was going to be making a Why the Last Man movie for a long fucking time, but the rights fell through. So I'm glad it's actually going to be made a TV show now. I think it fits better into the TV show as opposed to a movie.
Oh, obviously, yeah, this is a humongous storyline. So, I mean, there's many, many seasons available to them if it's any good. I just don't think they'll see the end of this story on TV. I really don't. I just don't. I don't see them portraying it. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the fucking 18 to 34 women will really latch onto this for some reason. I don't know. But
yeah.
It just seems like Hulu, and I don't know why, but Hulu hasn't proven to me that they're amazing in any aspect on television. But it gives me a lot more confidence than seeing FX when it comes to a adaptation of a comic book.
Guys, have any faith in the upcoming proposed Watchmen TV show?
No, not at all.
I mean, I'm not an avid defender of the movie. I do enjoy the movie. I haven't seen the director's cut, but I heard that offers a little bit more to the things. But at the same time, do we know what channel this will be on or what service?
No.
That has to be the first question you ask for any of these shows, right?
Yeah. Like you said, I mean, obviously FX has proven, you know, that they can do some stuff, especially considering Legion. But like Netflix, Hulu kind of ordeal, or even Amazon, like they have a better opportunity to kind of really provide you know, the viewers with better stuff. You know, they can get away with a little bit more.
It would have to be on an HBO or a Cinemax.
Yeah,
it really does. I mean, you can't if you're gonna do a comic book adaptation and then lessen it from the comic on, as far as language and what happens, you're going to fail immediately. This has to be a pay cable fucking station that delivers Watchmen. I don't dislike the movie at all. I had a good time with it. It was good. Obviously, I love the comic, but it all depends on that.
Yeah, I mean, it probably would have been better if they should have just probably done it as a series, because it's obviously going to be a mini series.
Yeah,
and or they might focus on those recent, you know, recent comics. Which I mean,
well, yeah.
I wouldn't actually hate that if it kind of did all the backstory and that's what the Watchmen TV show was about, like the comedian in Vietnam and all that kind of shit.
Oh, like a prequel.
Yeah, because that's what the books were, like the comics that came out a few years ago. They were all prequels to the original Watchmen story. So one focused on Ozymandias, one focused on Dr. Manhattan, one focused on Silk Spectre.
Wasn't there an actual sequel though, too?
No, they're crossing it over into the DC universe now.
Oh, okay.
So that's what they're doing. That's Doomsday Clock is the upcoming miniseries. So yeah, so they're bringing in Dr. Manhattan and everybody. So
all right,
we'll see how that goes. No talk about TV would be complete about probably one of the best comic shows on TV, Preacher. Are you still feeling it, Mo?
Yeah, it just ended. Just watched the last episode last night, actually. Kind of a big shocker in that episode. I don't know. I did not expect that. I don't know what they're planning to do with this show come next season, but it seems like it's going to be a fairly different show. I don't want to spoil it. I know you said you want to spoil everything, but Preacher seems like more of a mainstream television show that I don't want to spoil. So I don't know, man. Like I'm kind of, we talked about the Minchcast last week. Like I was with Preacher. And then, we started getting a little tired of fucking David's house, you know, like I was just like, all right, we got to get out of here. I didn't like the fact that the Hair Star was like fucking hanging out with Preacher.
Yeah, it was kind of a bit weird, but
the whole Hitler thing with Arseface ended up turning out exactly how we predicted on the show, like Hitler in modern day, which is obviously there's humongous ramifications that could come from that in the next season, which could be okay. But again, they've completely separated Arseface from the comic and given him basically his own storyline.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man, it's going to be a very different show next season, which I'm not necessarily saying is going to be a bad thing, because it got a little tired at the end of the season, but this season was still far above the first season.
Yeah, I do think they rebounded nicely. I do like the fact that they've given us enough moments from the books, like Humperdoo and what happened to Airstar this season with the escorts, as it were.
That was funny. And we, something we talked about last time we talked about, I was on the show, we talked about Preacher and the whole concept of Jesse's family. And it looks like we're going to start off the season with that next year. So that could be really fucking great.
Yeah. So looking forward to that. So let's segue a bit before we wrap this show up. A little bit of sad comic news this week. Legend died. Len Wein passed away. Creator Wolverine. And Swamp Thing, one of the most prolific creators in comic history.
Oh, wow.
What do you guys think? Like,
this guy Canadian?
No, but he did give us one of the few Canadian heroes that we can actually hang our hat on. We got Wolverine and we got Deadpool. That's it.
Yeah.
Because fuck Captain Canuck.
Fuck's fucking pretty badass. Shut up, you guys. Alpha Flight's fucking...
Okay, Alpha Flight is pretty badass, but it's slim pickings for us. You guys got like 50 different versions of Captain America. We got Wolverine. Wolverine beats everybody.
It's true. No, I would completely agree with that. Yeah, I was reading an article about that today. He also, I think, was... he kind of helped develop Colossus, Storm, and Nightcrawler. Is that correct?
Yep. He is kind of responsible for the resurrection of the X-Men.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's terrible news to hear that like somebody who was such a force in the industry kind of passed away. But I mean, obviously his work's going to live on. I mean, especially with the X-Men, that some of the most popular X-Men there are now, you know, Colossus, Nightcrawler, and of course, Wolverine. So,
and I believe he wrote a lot of episodes for that cartoon Ben 10. I never really watched that, but that's kind of cool.
Oh yeah, my kid watched that. That was a movie too. My kid watched that movie. They like that Ben 10. That's cool.
Yeah. So that was
had done too. Anything in the modern era to really hang your hat on, and that seems like it was a fairly popular show.
Yeah. So rest in peace, Len Wein.
Also, mentioned Alpha Flight. I just want to say Alpha Flight, Sasquatch is a member of Alpha Flight as a superhero. So go fuck yourself, Alpha Flight. I don't know who I'm yelling at. I'm just yelling at
it. Yeah, you're yelling
at We're on the same team. That's why you're here, Law.
Yeah.
Marvel's doing a little comic event, basically Venomverse. So what they struck gold with the Spider-Verse with all the different versions of Spider-Man. So they said, let's do it with Venom. So I floated the issues to Logan. You read a few of them this week. So basically the premise of Venomverse is all different versions of like Marvel characters that are infected with the Venom symbiont have to kind of band together on this world to fight off, like, I guess, poisons, which are like this alien race that hunt down like the Venom symbionts. So we got X-23 from the Logan movie as a Venom. You got Ghost Rider as a Venom. What do you think, Logan?
Raccoon.
Yeah, Rocket Raccoon is a Venom.
Ooh.
Yeah, I read War Stories. So you have like, I mean, fucking, this is where I was like, can this be a movie? Like, can we have like Tom Hardy be Venom and then like everybody from the Marvel Cinematic Universe come back and be Venom characters? Because it's like, fucking, I just want to see Captain America Venom.
Yeah.
That like, there was a moment where like he just like threw a shield and you just see like this symbiote like attached to it. And I was like, this is fucking, this is awesome. I mean, I read War Stories 1 and 2. That was the one worth, Venom Gwenpool, which was a fantastic issue. I had so much fun reading that one where she's like flirting with Daredevil.
I don't understand Gwenpool as a character normally, let alone Venom Gwenpool.
No, I don't either, but I think in the context it worked and it just was so like bizarre and out there, but like it just, I don't know, I had a fun time reading it. And like, you know, I think obviously it was one issue and the series of issues, but I was like, I could go with more of this character.
This seems similar to like Marvel Zombies, is it? Like
kind of, yeah. It's kind of like its own like standalone world kind of thing. Like they brought like all the like something that's brought all the different Venoms together to band together to fight off whatever the fuck this is. So I think it's like a 5-issue miniseries. We'll see where it goes, but I like the fact
that you get all the, like Venom and the symbiote Spider-Man like interact with one another, and it's like, oh, this is fantastic.
Yeah, because he's from the world where Peter Parker didn't give up the Venom symbiote. And, nice. You also have Flash Thompson Venom. Like, I really like Flash Thompson as Venom because it was different. But you're going to see all these different versions interact together. I was reading an art interview with one of the creators and say this is going to be more of a horror book, like a horror event. So that's kind of cool. Because it's such a goofy concept to begin with.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to check that out.
Yeah. And lastly, I did a little, I read a mini series this week called Plastic. And oh my, this is probably one of the weirdest Image books that I've ever read. It was a 5-issue miniseries. So the premise is like a retired serial killer who's in love with one of those real sex dolls. Like that's his girlfriend. He's dead because he's in love with her. He doesn't kill anymore because she inspires him to be better. Essentially, he runs afoul of like this big kind of bad guy, almost like a bad guy from like an 80s cheesy action movie. So who kind of blackmails him. He kidnaps the doll to blackmail the killer to kill like this sheriff who's giving him some trouble. Well, the serial killer is actually just trying to get his girl back. It is weird. It is funny. It's Plastic is a really good read. I definitely recommend that.
All right. Down.
Cool. Well, that's all. I think we should wrap that up unless you guys have any more news and want to talk about anything else.
No, I think we've covered a lot. The only things that we didn't bring up that are on your list are things like iZombie, that's been on for quite a long time.
Yeah, we talked about that Lucifer. Last time. Yep.
Witchblade, NBC. See? Boom. Yeah. Nope, not going to work.
Yeah, wasn't they had a short run on, what was it, TNT?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
long
did they?
Time ago. Yeah, long time ago.
I believe so.
Back also, Sam Twitch is a comic that I actually read a few collections of. Not a bad thing. BBC America might be okay.
But you're not going to like it because Kevin Smith is behind producing it.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Forget that.
He's directing a bunch more Supergirl this season, too, so you probably won't watch that either.
Mm-hmm. That's why we've hired Logan so he can watch his shit and tell me about it.
Okay.
I'm like with you, Law. I was once a fan, but not much anymore.
Yeah, it's hard to defend him anymore.
Yeah,
I'm a Kevin Smith apologist, so he's still okay with me.
So, Law, you're not watching Fear the Walking Dead. You're just going. You're staying with the flagship show.
I don't think.
Yeah, I couldn't do Fear the Walking Dead anymore. I mean, it's not even fun to make fun of. It's just so bad, so I tapped out. But Walking Dead is a lot of fun to make fun of. So yeah, I'm definitely waiting for that to come back.
Yeah. Negan is somewhat interesting still, so we'll see how that goes.
I actually got my passes for New York Comic Con the other day, and they've had nothing but Walking Dead plastered on them for the past, I want to say, 5 or 6 years.
You know what I've heard about Walking Dead, and I'm not spoiling anything. I think this has been widely reported. Like some guy at work brought it up to me, so fuck. the war between them, Negan and them, is going to be settled fairly early in the season. And they're going to have a time jump, just like the comics.
They're literally
going to have the time jump in the season. And it's going to be weird, I think. I don't know how. I didn't think they were ever going to fucking handle that on the show. But, I mean, they jump ahead pretty far in the comic. I doubt
they'll do this work guy is a credible source. Is it Bob?
No, he's not. He's not a credible source. But he watches the show and he read an article and he likes to bring it up. Okay, that's weird.
He's as much of a broadcast journalist as I am.
As long as it's not Bubba.
It's not Bubba. Bubba, no. He just. Yeah. He was like, what are you watching? Zombie Dick? You fucking fag. Sorry.
Zombie Dick's a great show.
Yeah. Where's that comic?
on that right, note, well, that great first episode, Logan. Glad to have you as my co-pilot on this journey.
Thank you, sir. I'm glad to be a part of it and look forward to future installments.
Cool. Thank you for dropping by, Jim Law, as always.
No problem. I'm glad to fucking moderate this fucking coming togetherness of you two.
Mm-hmm. So plenty of stuff on the horizon for Small Screen Heroes. Anything you want us to talk about, anything you want us to watch, any commentaries for shitty old comic book movies, let us know and we'll do them for you. So until next time, I'm Batch, that's Logan, this is Law, and read a goddamn book.
Eat a duck.
Eat a zombie dick, evidently.
You've been listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on BingeMedia.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Buy some merch at BingeMedia.net/shop. Subscribe to our newsletter at BingeMedia.net/newsletter. And don't forget...
I can't get enough of soup.
Bob O'Girl.